How's everybody doing? I heard in the spirit this week, if God said so and you said so, then it is so. If God said so and you said so, it is so. Now, God outlines what he says in his word. And he gives us a spirit to teach us that word so that we'll know and understand what he's saying to us. And then when we say so, we're merely confessing God's word. Confession means to say the same thing as. In other words, we're not repeating the world or the flesh. We're going to say what God is saying. We're real good at repeating what the flesh is saying. It says, I hurt, I have pain, things aren't working for me, nobody loves me. But we're not talking about confession of that which is worldly and fleshly. We're talking about confession of the word of God. We're talking about hearing what God had said, understanding what God has said, having revelation what God had said, and then repeating that, making that a matter of the words of our mouth, because faith is always spoken. If faith is not spoken, it's incomplete. It has to be spoken to be complete. It has to be believed, of course. If you say what you don't believe, it automatically does not work. Sometimes you can say it till you do believe it. My brother, I tease him all the time. He remembers things that happened before he was born. And I tell you how that happens. He's a really good listener. And as he listens, he thinks he was there. I said, you couldn't remember that, Philip. He said, well, I do. I said, you weren't even born till 56. You don't remember that. But he listens very carefully. We're going to listen very carefully to what God is saying. When we find out what God is saying, then we make that a word of our mouth. And we begin saying it. Our faith increases. It blossoms. It grows. It blooms. In the book of Isaiah, it talks about righteousness coming forth like seed on ground, on fertile soil, and begin to spring up. Righteousness begins to spring up. And we are fertile soil. Our heart is that fertile soil. And the word of God begins to spring up as we begin to say it. It begins to grow. It begins to blossom. It begins to bloom. I like that visual image because visual image helps us to see. Now, I want to begin in Romans 8, a different verse than we usually use, verse 32, and talk about what God is saying, because we're going to repeat God. We're going to say what God is saying. It's when I say what God is saying that my faith begins to work, and as my faith begins to work, then it begins to manifest. I'm looking first for strong faith. I'm looking first for the word of the Lord in my mouth, and then I know that that word is going to be working in my spirit, and it's going to grow and move out into my body, into my mind. And sometimes we're not only saying the wrong thing, we're looking for the wrong thing. We're looking to feel better, and I appreciate feel better. But feel better is the end. It's the finale. It's the caboose. Feel better is the end of the line. And long before you feel better, you are better because God said so. We have to trust the word of Almighty God. Now, here's a wonderful verse. He that spared not his own son, verse 32, delivered him up for us all. Paul was a southern guy. You know that. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This shows the extent of God's provision for all who will believe. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That's the same thing for God so loved the world. Us all is the world. Now, all the world won't receive, but everybody who believes will receive. Us all. How shall he not with him also freely? The New English Bible says, lavish upon us all things. Don't you like that? Lavish upon us. When we were at the top of the mountain in a friend's house, we got to do that for years till they sold that house. There's no TV reception up there, but they had a stack of, they were 8 tracks actually, different movies. And we watched all the Hallmarks. These are fine, strong Christian people, so there isn't a single thing there that you wouldn't put before your eyes because they would not do that. And it was a wonderful place because when you stepped into that place, though they were not Pentecostal, the Spirit was there. It's an amazing, amazing place to be. Always heard from God there. And I did agree with them that the house would sell because they needed to sell it. But I was sad. I knew God was there. I knew we could rest and relax and hear from God there. Well, in that stack of movies was the musical, A Little Orphan Annie. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Now, we were raised from a family, wasn't allowed in movies, and I didn't go to movies, and I haven't seen too many movies. I don't like movies to this day. And people that talk, my friends finally know, don't talk movies to me. I'm not going. You go if you want to, as long as you be careful what you set for your eyes. But I don't like to go, and I'm not going. I do occasionally, well, at the top of the mountain, we rented all of those that people had, you know, hammered us with during the year. There's a place at the foot of the mountains, a rental place. And so one year we had a wonderful year. We watched God Is Not Dead and Heaven Is Real, and it was a great year. And I just made a note, and my children would make a note. You can watch this one, Mother, because I'm real picky about what I put for my eyes. And we were watching, because we had watched everything else in the stack, and I was just amazed. Lucille Ball, Little Orphan Annie, musical Lucille Ball. Absolutely phenomenal. And here's what happened. He adopted this little girl, but he didn't have a relationship with her, and he didn't cultivate a relationship with her. He was a very, very wealthy man. He provided her her own room, her own maid. She had a wardrobe unequal to any, and yet she didn't have a relationship. And she began to cultivate a relationship with him. She'd go down and talk with him, and he's looking at her like, don't you have a maid? Don't you have somewhere to be? Don't you? Aren't they taking care of you like I told them to take care of you? But over time, she won his heart. And it is through our relationship. We're not just trying to grasp a word. We're not just trying to understand. You know, that's what you did in high school, junior high, middle school it is now. You just want to understand and remember enough to pass the test. Well, that's what I did. I don't know what you did. I wasn't too much I was interested in. I like principles of math because they're concrete. I like something that's always right. Don't like something that could be this way, it could be that way. But I just memorized, and I had a strong memory then. I could remember anything, and I passed the biology test the day before I had a migraine headache. I had migraines until I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, never had another one, age 30. I had the kind that you wished you were dead. You thought you might not die. I'm telling you, I know about migraines. I never had another one. I had stayed home the day before the migraine, and what I did in my spare time when I could get my vision clear is I memorized the glossary of the biology book. Memorized it A to Z. Had a very strong mind. You think I remember any of that today? I didn't remember at the end of the month. I just put it in there long enough to pass the test. And we're not talking about memory. We're talking about a relationship that causes us to want to grow and to know more and to do more and to say more. You know, I would never knowledgeably hurt anybody's feelings, though I've been guilty, as you have too. I remember when Wayne ran over my dog. Oh, that was a hard day. We don't have dogs. We haven't had dogs in years. I'm out of the dog business, but I had a Bible study to teach that night, and I was deeply wounded. He didn't do it on purpose, you understand. That would have been terrible, wouldn't it? He didn't do it on purpose, but I could tell I had wounded him by something that I had said while I was teaching because my heart was so open and so hurt. We had this dog equal to none. She was wonderful, and she was young, and she was gone. And I said something that wounded him, and I looked up and saw his face. See, because we have a relationship, I would never knowledgeably wound him or hurt him. Then I apologized, and of course, I tried to be sincere, but part of you is so wounded, you're thinking, why don't you watch where you're going? She was actually tied in the yard and the chain was long enough that she was sitting under the tire of the car when he backed out. And that was nobody's fault at all. Well, we have to protect our own heart. You can wound your heart by what you say. You can damage yourself, and you can damage and dent your faith. And we say all kinds of things that aren't going to help. One lady who knows me well and sees me a lot, she said, I wish you'd quit saying that. Because she knows how quickly something builds up in your heart, how strong it becomes in your inner man. Especially if you're used to functioning from the spirit, not from the mind. And I had to make a note, you know, do not say that. We cannot be careless with our words. Faith is always spoken. And if your words do not speak faith, you're doing damage to your heart. You're doing damage to your spirit. You're doing damage to what you need. What you need is not going to grow to full fruition because of what you said. Now, he freely gave us. He lavishly gave us. And I want you to see all things. You know, all is all. There's any other way to explain that? All, every. If you look up every in the dictionary, it says without exception. I love that. All is without any exceptions. All things. Now, that doesn't mean all things. That means all things that God has promised. It doesn't mean what's illegal or immoral or really dumb. My daughter always adds really dumb to everything I say. We're talking about all things promised. We're talking about the word that's given to us and growing in that word. Now, Colossians 1 talks about growing in the word, growing in knowledge of God. It's a wonderful verse. I use it a lot for me. Verse 9, chapter 1. This cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, the desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding. Filled with the knowledge of His will. Filled with the knowledge of His will. Knowledge is an accumulation of facts and data. Understanding is knowing how to apply those facts to your life. You can have knowledge without understanding. And then wisdom is the ability to have a finished product. Knowledge is accumulation of the facts. Understanding is knowing how to apply those facts to your life. And wisdom is the contractor that knows how to build the building. It knows how to come up with a finished product. And that's what you want. And then if you go down to verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, that means acceptably pleasing Him. Well, we can't please Him if we don't know His word. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing, and there it is, increasing, continually increasing in the knowledge of God. All of our life, you know, God is great big, and we're not going to understand everything, but we're going to grow in knowledge, we're going to grow in understanding, and we want to grow in understanding of what He has done in our lives, of what He has provided for us. And when a will is read, and this is the old covenant and the new covenant, the new will, the old will, and we're a product of the new covenant, the new will of God, and we want to grow in understanding of the provision He's made for us, because that's our covenant. That's what's in it for us. And it's growing in the knowledge of God. Now look at 1 John 5. We want to grow. We want to know. But it's relationship. Let me show you the strength of this relationship in 1 John chapter 5. We quote this verse. It says, this is a confidence we have in Him. It doesn't say this is a confidence we have in His word. In Him. My confidence, my assurance is in Him, in God. I'm growing to know God better. I'm developing a relationship with God. And through that relationship, I'm finding out what He has done for me, what He has provided for me. I'm putting that provision in my heart and in my mouth. I'm growing in confidence of God Himself. It doesn't say His word. A man is no bigger than his word. If he tells lies, somebody tells lies, their word can't be trusted, then they can't be trusted. You cannot segregate you from yourself and you can't from your word, and you cannot segregate God from His word. And it's not His word that we want to understand as much as it's God. If we understand God, we'll grow in knowledge of who He is in our relationship with Him. Now it says, if we ask anything He's promised, anything that's in the scripture, anything that's in the word, that's not immoral, not illegal, anything according to His will. That means I have to get to know Him. I have to get to know His word. I have to get to know His will. And that's not where it stops, but that's where it begins. Because once I know what God is saying, or begin to know what God is saying, I have to put those words in my mouth. I have to say what God is saying. If God said it, it's true. But the fact that God said it doesn't mean it'll ever work for you. It'll only work for you if you say it. Faith is always spoken. It works for you when you say it. When you make what God said and the knowledge that you're growing in a part of your words, a part of your confession. If you have knowledge according to His will, according to His word. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1. Anything, all things, everything, without exception, the word of God is for you. You know, I had to cultivate a relationship with Wayne before I knew what possessions he possessed, what I would share as we got married. I could see right off he had a car. I don't feel sorry for kids today. I didn't have a car. I had to catch a ride to work. I had to catch a ride to school. And finally, we had this old Buick that didn't have a reverse gear, and I drove it to college, and I had to park in the farthest space out to make sure I'm not blocked in, because it will not ever, and on any occasion, go in reverse. And when they want this big fancy car, I think, you just need to ask somebody else to agree with you. Because I still remember driving that old Flivver with no reverse. But when I got to know Wayne, see, he had a car that went backward and forward. See, that's not significant to you. But that was real significant to me. He had a car, and it had air conditioning. Those days, cars didn't all have air conditioning. You remember that? He had old 59 Ford. Well, and then I found out he had a savings account because he had to go buy some tires. And so I knew he had some money hidden somewhere, see. It's through relationship that you find out things. And if you cultivate a relationship with Almighty God, you're going to find out what He has for you, what He wants for you. You're going to find out how big He is. And it'll never work for you till you believe it and say it. Never works. You've got to say it. You've got to believe it. Now, here's a marvelous verse, verse 3, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be Him. Him, not His Word, Him. He's as good as His Word. It's Him. Bless the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, who hath blessed us with all, see that word all appears again, all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessing in heavenly place in Christ, in union with Christ. Because of our union with Christ, we're heirs to the blessings. Has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, somebody said that doesn't include healing because healing is not a spiritual blessing. Anything that God does is spiritual. If man could heal, and they can't, if man could heal, then we might consider it a physical blessing. All they're doing is maneuvering symptoms most of the time, aren't they? And we like that. We appreciate their work. He has blessed us. That's all of us who will believe, all of us who will say, with all spiritual blessings. That actually could read, with all the blessings that are in the spirit world you can have. It's the same thing as the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Spiritual blessings. If heaven's got it, if heaven can do it, if heaven sends it, it's spiritual. Now, I've got to put the spiritual blessings in my mouth. Look at 2 Corinthians. I've got to say what God said. If God said it, that's a wonderful thing. God's provided for us. He's given us knowledge and information by the Spirit. But I've got to put my faith to work. I've got to receive it. Now, my daddy left provision. I have a brother and a sister, and he left provision for us. But at daddy's death, we had to receive that. We couldn't receive it before daddy died. It was his until he died. And then there was a provision for us, certain financial accounts in his house, of course, and the vehicle. Well, I think we sold the car, but keep him from driving it. Oh, my, that's a story you don't even want to hear. But all of that belonged to us, but we didn't receive it until he died. Well, if you go to Hebrews, it says the testator, who's the Lord Jesus Christ, has died. So the provision is now ready for you. He not only died, but he was raised from the dead to make sure that when you called upon him, you got the provision that he died to send you. A will is only as good as the death of the person. And the person of Jesus Christ who wrote the will is gone, but alive. You see that, don't you? Now, 4:13, we have the same, do you see it? Spirit of faith. Faith is a spirit. According as it's written, I believed. Therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Faith is also what you believe and what you speak. It's always spoken. You can memorize. You can say it by rote. But it won't work for you until it's spoken from your heart. Now look at Matthew. It's always spoken. Look at Matthew 13, I believe it is. 12, actually. Faith is called the spirit of faith. So we're functioning from the heart. That's why your body doesn't know. It's not the first to know that anything's happening. It's the last to know. The word, the spirit, and life has to be planted in the human spirit. It has to come into the body. That's why if you're depending on your body to tell you that it's working, you may get a wrong signal. I'm going to tell you your body's crazy. If you don't think so, wait till you age out like some of the rest of us have. And you know, it is crazy. I've had people in healing school, they came because they're dying. And 20 years later, some of them are still here. They weren't dying at all.
Slow down.
And I've had people that did die, didn't know they were dying, that came because they had their annual physical, and the doctor found out that they were had a very short time to live, and they came to hear what God had to say about their health. Your body's crazy. You can't depend upon it to tell you the truth.
Amen.
That's why you pray over your doctor and your medicines, because he's going by what the body said, and your body may not send the right signal. It frequently doesn't send the right signal. But if faith is of the Spirit, it's receiving in the Spirit. God's Word is Spirit, John 6:63. It's receiving the Word which is Spirit. It's Spirit. It's Spirit. And receiving it in the human spirit. And faith, which is a spirit, is cultivated. And from the Spirit, it's going to flow into your body. Here's how this works. You're a spirit being living in a physical body. You're a sinner, but you get born again. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses you, and you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, God's Word is Spirit. And when you meditate in God's word, it comes through the mind into the spirit. It's spirit food. It's not mental food. It's spirit food. It comes through the mind into the spirit. And as the spirit begins to fill up with the word of God, then that word begins to flow from the spirit into the body and quicken the body and renew the mind. Because revelation is not of the mind, it's of the spirit. Now look at this verse and let's confirm that to you. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, which is not a compliment, by the way. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You are going to say what you have in your heart in abundance. You understand abundance because you understand Thanksgiving or Christmas. Our big dinner, family dinner, is always Thanksgiving. Wayne's mom fixed most of Thanksgiving, and Wayne comes from a large family. And they had, it's a farm family and farm families, and so if it grew in the dirt, we had it. We had everything. Everything. Wayne's mom had two kitchens. And there was food on both stoves and food in both ovens. You could not possibly have eaten some of everything. We had an abundance. Now it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the spirit, out of the abundance. How do you do that? Meditate. Just keep reading it, keep reading it, keep reading it, keep reading it. Keep saying it. Talk yourself into it. You can talk yourself into other things. I can talk you into some things. I say, have another piece of cake. No, I couldn't. Really, I couldn't. Oh, no, have another. Just, I'll cut it small. Little piece. Have another little piece. I can talk you into some things. You can talk yourself into anything. And later when they get caught doing something they shouldn't, they say, why did you do that? And they don't know. Seemed like a good idea or something. No, put the word in your heart in a great abundance. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God is in the multiplication and the abundance business. And he said, you get your heart full of me, full of my word. You develop a relationship with me so that the spirit of the living God can explain who I am and what I want to do. And then you begin to speak out of your heart. Now, this verse is in the negative. If evil people are going to say evil things. But look at the next verse. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Good treasure of his heart. You don't have any treasure. That's 12, Matthew 12, 35. You don't have any treasure in your heart if you didn't put it there. You know, when Mama died, we weren't looking for any gold and diamonds. I wouldn't. So we took all the cosmetic jewelry, and I knew that's what it was, but my family wanted to be sure, and so I'm agreeable. Christians are always nice people, and I took them up to the gold man. He took one look, and he said, this is all cosmetic. I said, thank you. I almost said, would you write that down for me? I wanted to say I knew that all the time. You can't find any. It wasn't there. Now, Mama had the first $50 bill she'd ever earned. She worked for a telephone company, World War II. We never did find it. I know it was there. I know it was there. She talked about that $50 bill. And we looked everywhere. She and my grandmother always hid their money. My grandmother, one day at Mama's, I found almost $300, $350. Found it. Because Mama hid money. And that's a family thing. You know, you're supposed to hide your money. I don't know why they do that. My grandmother, they would go over, because she couldn't remember where she hid it, they'd go over and hide her money for her. And then when she would call, she couldn't find her money. She'd moved it. But they were taking apart a picture. Some of the family member wanted one of Granny's pictures, but they didn't want the frame, and they took the picture frame apart, and money fell out the back. You got to hide it in here. You got to take time to put it in here, to meditate, to think, to ponder, to read, to pray, to say, to say, to say, to say. Your mouth is the key to your victory. It's also the key to your defeat. So you got to, Proverbs says, I don't know if I put that word on this sheet or not, to teach your mouth. You got to teach your mouth what to say. You got to set a watch before your mouth. And we'll get to those scriptures and read them in a minute. Look, fill your heart in abundance. Now look at Mark 11. This is how strong your words of faith can be. Your words spoken from the fullness of your heart, spoken out of the abundance of the heart. That word abundance means superior in quantity and quality. Quantity and quality. Now, if we have 10 party guests, little kids, and we're going to buy, and all we have is $10, we're limited to a $1 gift per person. $1 for each of those little kids to give them a favor, to thank them for coming. We can't buy quality because we don't have enough money. We have to just go with quantity, with what we can do. But if we had a $20 bill or two $20 bills, then we can go with quality and quantity. And that word abundance means plenty of the very best. Plenty. God said, I want you to have plenty of the very best. But he also said, out of the abundance of your heart, it comes to you. Well, if you didn't put it in there, it won't come out. Someone told me that radishes were the key to gallbladders. Did you know that? You don't have to write that down. We don't even know if that's true. And I thought to myself, well, it's a good thing I don't have gallbladder issues because I like radishes. But you should see the quantity of radishes that are going to help your gallbladder, according to this supposed expert. I thought, well, no, now. That's not going to happen. Radishes will not happen. You know, I can eat two or three, and then I'm through for 6 or 8 weeks. I don't need any more radishes. But the Word of God is a delight. It says it's a delight. Psalms 1, a delight. That's the word for luxury. It's the word like a laying your head on a really soft pillow. I have a goose down pillow. Love that pillow. I wore one out already. And I went and they tried to talk me into a fight. I don't want foam. They tried to talk me into all these new ones. Got cool. I don't want a cooling. I stuck. I said, I want a goose down. And when you lay your head on it, have you ever done that? Have you poor people are? Are you still on foam? They're very expensive, so wait till they're on sale or else, you know, believe God for the money. When those things went on sale, I buzzed back down there and I bought two. And when you put your head on that goose down pillow, your whole body goes, ah. It seems to help you. Even your toes are glad. I don't know how that works. And that's what the Word of God does. It soaks into your being. And from the Spirit, where it's accumulating, it begins to flow out like filling a cup of water too full. And it begins to flow out of that cup. It begins to flow out of your heart. It begins to affect your body. And your body is the last to know that anything good is happening. Don't look to your body. It ain't going to know. Now, Mark 11:23, whatever you say to this mountain, whatsoever. You're an heir to all things pertaining to life and godliness. All things it says. Everything, every spiritual blessing. Whatever you say to this mountain. Well, you know, if you're not a meditator in the Word, you're going to be dumber than a brick. You don't know what to say. You ever been there? I have. More than once, I think. Ought to be a scripture that applies here. I know there must be a scripture that speaks here. Or somebody will ask you to pray. This lady asked me, she said her son was going to court, and she went on and on, and I'm assuming that she's going to come to the bottom line that he's innocent. And that's what I'm expecting. Then I'm already ready to pray as soon as she can. People have to tell more facts than you actually need to hear, usually. And so I'm waiting for her to get to the end, and she says, oh, yeah, he's guilty. Now, I don't have a clue how to pray. Not a clue. I'm totally blank, I thought. I could pray today, but in those days, I was new at Pentecost, new at prayer. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what to say. If you don't put something in you, you will not know what to say. But you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside. You know, sometimes you'll say brilliant things, and you think, I want to think, give me a pen. I need to write that down. I can't believe I said that. I mean, I've said some really brilliant things, but they didn't come from me. Came from the Spirit of God. You got to put something in. Then you know what mountain to speak to. Be you removed. And we're talking about speaking. Faith is spoken. This is the procedure. Have faith in God. The preceding verse. Be you removed. Be thou cast into the sea. Shall not doubt in your heart. Not in your mind. In your heart. In your spirit. In your inner man. No doubt. But believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he saith. It doesn't say you'll have what you're believing. It does not say you'll have what you're believing. It says you'll have what you're saying. And here's the clue. Somebody believes in a football team or a basketball team. We have sports enthusiasts extraordinaire in our family. Don't happen to be one of them. And you can't shut them dudes up. You know they want to talk about the players. They want to talk about the new game. They want to talk about the basketball extravaganza. They go on and on. And Christians are nice people. And we're always nice people. Nice, nice, nice. And I'm going, And when is that? I'm thinking, that's so I won't have to watch it so I don't turn on my TV that night. No. You can't shut them up because they believe. And when I get in the Word of God, my enthusiasm and my revelation, my understanding begins to cause my mouth to just explode in words of faith and life. But you got to put it in. And then when you say it, it comes to pass. When you put it in, you believe it and you say it, it comes to pass. That's amazing, isn't it? It's so easily said. It's so hard to do when you're in pain. I know what you want to say. Same thing I said. I said, Wade, my knee is killing me. Wayne's always very kind. He said, would you like to rephrase that? I said, yes, I would like to say that differently. Thank you. What I wanted to say was, would you mind praying for my knee? Shh, because God is so good. God is so good. He made abundant provision. Every spiritual blessing is yours. Every. All things. And when you make a relationship with the King and you have confidence in Him, then you have confidence in His Word, and then you know His Word is going to work. And then when you speak His Word out of the fullness of a heart, it comes to pass. When you say what God has said, then you have it. Now, words are so very important. This is only a third of what Proverbs says. Proverbs is the book of words. I want you to see how important your words are. You are snared with the words of your mouth. A snare is a trap. You're trapped by the words of your mouth, caught by your own promise. Snared, trapped like an animal in a nest. And what trapped you? It wasn't your neighbor. It wasn't your job. It was your mouth. It was what you said. Don't be trapped by what you have said. Don't be caught by the words of your mouth. Don't. That's a big word. Don't. You know, we blame it on the job. We blame it on the neighbor. We blame it on, well, I didn't feel too well. That's why I said that. And Scripture says, don't do that. Don't. Don't. Your words are a trap. They can be for you or against you. And if you speak against God's words, if I speak God's word, my words are working to bring that to pass. If I speak the devil's words, then ugly things may come to pass. Here, I will speak of excellent things. I love this word excellent because it's also the word for prince or king. And it says, speak like a king. Speak up like a king. You're a king's kid. You're God's kid. You're a child of the living God. Speak like a king's kid. Say what the king is saying. The opening of my lips shall be right things. Listen, I'll say worthwhile things when I speak. My words are right. Listen, I have important things to say. Listen, I'm about to tell you of unparalleled excellence. What a terminology. I'm fixing to tell you about something unparalleled. In other words, there isn't anything at all that's going to compare with the good news I'm fixing to give you. Unparalleled excellence.